Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Thanks for joining us for Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Apologies for the voice. Allergies are starting to kick in this time of year, but nevertheless, we trudge on. My next guest is a legacy cannabis entrepreneur serving California and Michigan's adult use cannabis markets. I always put recreational in here, but it's adult use, I'd like to say. He is here to tell us about a recently launched cannabis brand from last year that they say gives customers, quote, a sweet escape in the form of aptly named vapes, edibles, flower, pre-rolls, and concentrates. I'm joined with the co-owner of the San Diego-based brand, cannabis brand Gelato. I'm here with George Sadler. George, thanks for being on.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Really glad to have you on. If you really want to just know, back in October 2020, Latham Woodward, our host of Days and Infuse, actually got the chance to not only get featured George on his program, but also was featured on the PV Unfiltered podcast. I'm going to catch that, but you know, the idea is actually, I think we put both interviews up on Days and a Few. So if you want to go and check that out, I would highly recommend that while you listen here. So let's go ahead and start off, George, with Gelato. Now, Stupid Dope recently profiled the brand and they said this, quote, Gelato Canico is not even a year old and has already landed its product line of vapes, edibles, concentrate, pre-rolls, and flower, and over 400 cannabis dispensaries throughout California, Michigan, with the bulk of the presence in California, the Golden State. They have yet to take a single investment. I want to repeat it again. They have yet to take a single investment dollar and hit their first $1 million month in October at their eponymous Lake Elsinore store. No investment. I want to just take, first of all, we'll talk about the investment part in just a minute. But first, talk to me about the instant impact your team has made with Gelato in just 1 year. Obviously, you know, your background, what you've already done in companies, building them up and creating real success, the entrepreneurship, it just keeps hitting gold.
Wow. When I hear it like that, it sounds really good. I don't hear it like that too often.
No.
I appreciate it. And I think, you know, there's just a, I think you kind of get this track record. And with the team, and now, you know, with a really good solid base knowledge and relationships, I'm not saying it makes things easier, but I think people trust you a lot more, you know, going through this process. We don't really understand it to a T, but I think the big thing that we found with this go around with Gelato is that we have, we've found a way to service not only the customer, but the stores in a way that we weren't even doing previously, and filling the needs of stores, especially at this time, because it's a rough time in the market and they need people that are going to support not just your own brand, but the store themselves. So we've really just kind of honed in on making sure that the stores are getting the attention that they need from a brand. And then, in saying that, we've really taken the branding to a different level which I think is, it's just being well received. And yeah, we, you know, we're not even a year into this, and we're in over 400 stores, and we're in Michigan again as well.
Yeah.
Getting ready to do some stuff in a couple other states, but our main focus is California. And I think the reception that we've had thus far, and the ability to bring this many SKUs to the market and put them in this many stores in such a short period of time kind of explains that that we're doing something.
It's still a pretty young industry, nevertheless.
Yes.
And you've been well over a decade in cannabis. The idea is that continuing to go and build businesses and just having that continued ambition and still finding creative ways to move forward and build other infrastructures that are also going to serve the public and really just keeps you on your toes. What is it about, you know, the constant move as an entrepreneur in cannabis to continue to go ahead and grow companies out, but then start finding, okay, we had this settled to a certain point. It's going along on its own. I need something else to do.
Well, I think that's kind of a dangerous play that some people have. And my son and I have that. And I think the big thing for us is, as you know, as our team backs us and as we, you know, come into these ideas, we are sometimes unusually calculated on how we move on these. And, you know, we do have the other brands within the Gelato brand, but I think the thing for us is we've come to this place where we want to normalize cannabis. And, you know, it's a tough place when you're looking at alcohol and these other things that are normalized. And why are we not getting this through with cannabis? And everybody still, you know, you have these conversations. It's like, oh, what do you do? And you hear those people go, oh yeah, you know, I'm in cannabis, or, you know, I smoke marijuana. And it's like, you know, we don't do that. And I don't know why people still feel that, you know, marijuana is a dirty word. And it's, you know, and so our kind of our flagship now, our motto is normalizing. And so that's why we have decided to take the brand into kind of a cross venturing mainstream. And we have, we just launched an exotic car rental company, Gelato Exotics. Mm-hmm. And we just this is kind of the first on this that we haven't said anything outside of, you know, our company, but we do have a tequila and a vodka that's wow, getting ready to be launched, which is pretty amazing. And then just the same thing, you know, with our edibles and whatnot, we're going to be taking those mainstream, and we've partnered up with some, which, you know, we will announce here in the next few weeks. We're just on the second side of the contract right now with some pretty big mainstream influencers, if you want to call it that, that are going to impact the normalization of this brand and allow people to experience Gelato on, you know, on a bunch of different levels. We're super excited. And I can tell you, my son and I are like that, where not that we get comfortable, but I guess more so, like you just said, what can we do now? And after we closed out the Platinum Vape deal, mm-hmm, you know, we didn't anticipate coming back into this in this way. And,
right.
And it happened, and it's amazing. But I think our drive is, once again, we're super excited about seeing this brand coexist in what everybody would call the normal world.
I want to bring up the
bad saying that too.
I want to unpack a couple of things you said there, George. Partly is the fact of all these other brands you have now, plus the fact that you're taking the branding and crossing over into other mainstream products when it comes to tequilas, when it comes to the exotic cars. The idea is just taking that branding, that concept, the whole scheme, the work you've done to put into it. I mean, really, when you look at the difference between the Platinum Vape line and the branding and packaging of that to Gelato, it is very different. It's diverse, and it's real. It's a testament to go and say that you're not stuck to any particular way, that you really do keep yourself open to trendsetting in this industry, how branding, packaging, and the marketing of your product should stand out. That's important. So like one of the things is, I don't see that to normalize cannabis, as you said, I think it is crossing over. It's really where it becomes integrated with everywhere else. It's not just staying where, well, cannabis is within its own lane. There's a certain kind of crowd, a certain kind of lifestyle, a certain kind of society. No, it's everybody. And that's the whole thing I've been thinking for the last few years we've talked about, especially when it comes to edibles, the edibles market making its way up, when it comes to vapes and just showing, hey, everybody's having it, enjoying it. But the thing is now with vapes, let it be cannabis, not the other pens have been out there before that, you know, we're all getting cracked down. It's the idea that you have, you know, we want it to go and see cannabis products on the store shelves, just like everything else is. So if it is, you know, anything that's a beverage base, seeing it on the same store shelves as either a soft drink or a hard drink, liquor store, whatever it is, there should be spaces on the shelf for that. And that's, I think, the way, you know, it's where the market, you see everything out there. And it's not just the dispensary you go to for cannabis. It's everywhere else you can find it.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. And to hear you say that, especially because of your platform and what you experience and see on a broader scale throughout the industry, a lot of us are just heads down, you know, kind of mowing through whatever we can. And it's always nice to hear that outside perspective of how things are looking. And we try to capture that as much as we can, you know, from that 40,000 feet view and see where everybody's cards are lying. And I think maybe, you know, we really wanted this brand to be a fun kind of outgoing, multiple use and something that people aren't worried about, showing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, back in the day with Platinum, we kind of did that when we rebranded, and that was in, man, that was in 2018, yeah. I think. And, you know, everything at that time was dark and we all had black packaging with gold, and it was just, you walk into a dispensary and even with the lights on, it was dark because there wasn't a package on the shelf that was even white.
Right.
You know, everybody had that. And, you know, that was what it was. And we were all part of that. And when we rebranded, that's when we came out with and we took that chance. We came out with the pink and the blue and, you know, and those colors. And even my son, because, you know, I was the major part of, you know, going that direction. And we always just kind of consult with each other and like, okay, you know, let's go. And we're thinking, man, this is cannabis. Are people going to receive this? And, you know, it was very well received. And then shortly thereafter, which was on one of my podcasts, was like looking at dispensaries now at that time and how the shelves have changed and the packaging had changed. And,
yeah,
you know, I feel like, I mean, I don't take credit, but I feel like we were a big part of bringing kind of that brighter side to it. And so going forward, we really paid attention to the store level and the customers and what they wanted and what people wanted to see and be and mostly be a part of. And so when we concepted Gelato, which was amazing that we got the trademark on that, but the fact was that we really went out and talked with people to understand what it was that people wanted in cannabis and to be able to do. And some kind of some weird questions, but nonetheless, people just wanted to have something that was universal,
yeah,
across the board. Nothing that marketed to females in, you know, directly or to males directly. Something that allowed people to, you know, to be able to carry the same products, whether you're male or female, no matter what it was. And then also feel like they were part of something. And that was the concept where we came in with, you know, having the scratch and sniffs on the box and then, you know, putting the pins and the collectibles, which have just absolutely soared. I mean, it's absolutely insane, but these collectible pins have just gone nuts. I mean, the other day somebody, you know, piped in and I remember who it was, but they, on eBay, they're selling these pins that we do, the collector pins. And some of these people are getting, you know, for a little pin, they're getting $80 to $100. And they're collecting these things and selling them on eBay. And so we get a lot of feedback. And that was one of the things that we really did with our team, was to make sure we were paying attention to the feedback that customers were giving, really detailed, and accepting and making changes and understanding what it was that people wanted to be able to feel like they're being a part of this brand. And it's just taken off.
There's one thing to be said about disrupting the market. And I think that's more than anything, what you and other companies that have gone in, changing the color scheme, saying, you know what, there's other spectrums of the rainbow we can use, not just green and black, folks. We can use something else. That's what I think really comes across. And when there are companies that are forward thinking, trend setting, and disrupting the market, people have to pay attention. That's what has to happen. George, we're going to go to commercial break. But when we come back, I want to go ahead and get more into the philosophy of what you do, the business mind, and various areas when it comes to the investment side, when it comes to what you did in order to roll out Gelato and the diversification of the products that you put out there. A whole lot more. I'm here again with George Sadler. And if you want to go take a look at the website as we go to break, website is gelatocanna.com. Gelato, like the, you know, I love gelato. It's great stuff, right? CANNA.com. Check that out when we go to break. We'll be right back.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here with George Sadler, co-owner of Gelato Canna Co. and the host of PB Unfiltered, so Gelato Cannabis. Now, I want to go ahead and jump into, before the break, I talked about, at the beginning of talking about when you brought in Gelato Canna Co., that you have yet to take a single investment dollar, while in the meantime, you hit your first $1 million month in October of last year. So I want to go ahead and take really quickly about how you and your son, Cody, you mentioned here, strongly advise against working with institutional investors. And in that same story from stupidnote.com, they actually mentioned that, in your view, cannabis companies are racing to become MSOs and underestimating the tremendous logistics it takes to grow at a national scale. I agree with this 100%. I want to say it off the bat. Because of this, they advise cannabis companies to grow where they're planted, creating high demand in a single market leads to success in the long run, rather than a race to get into multiple markets and crumbling under the pressure. And we've been seeing this trend going on for the last few years. Everybody thinks legalization was getting ready to go ahead and get green lit federally, coast to coast. So all these MSOs, what it is, we're going to go and plant our flags all over the country, wherever we can, and get set up. And now that plan's going to get hurt because we're going to get delayed 3 to 5 years. That's my personal thought. I said that at the end of 2022. I still believe it. And safe banking, hey, you know, if we're not doing other things like worrying about, you know, train derailments or, you know, wars overseas and things like that, maybe they will get some time to go and work on the safe banking act. Because, you know, they did try. I give them credit. They did try to wedge it into the National Defense Authorization Act. They tried to wedge into some other, you know, in the omnibus bill. I give you credit. Thank you, Congress, for trying. Thank you. But it's not happened yet. So with this, MSOs that are publicly traded, their quarterly earnings are shrinking the same way everywhere else is going on. And no safe banking act yet to even look at. Shouldn't MSOs, George, start to heed your advice?
Wow. So yes, I wasn't laughing at the fact of the train derailment, but more so the fact that the Safe Banking Act is always derailed.
Right. It is.
No, and it could be. And it's not, you know, this month it's a train and it's, you know, and it's the unfortunate situations overseas and whatnot, but it just shows you that there's, you know, we always hope and that there's really no truth to the act being you know, finished anytime soon. I believe you're absolutely correct. I'm on the same boat with you when you say 3 to 5 years for federal legalization. And, you know, we may be looking at longer, and that's where we all, you know, have to kind of bear down and understand that, you know, it's just part of this process. But the safe banking thing, yes, that continues to be a very big conversation that seems to go nowhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately we've been able to kind of, everybody's been able to do workarounds, and it's definitely gotten a lot better. So we're not losing sleep over it as we were, you know, 3 years ago. But nonetheless, going into the MSOs and whatnot, I think, you know, everybody wants to be prepared. And this is a thing when it does, you know, federally become accepted, and understand that just because that happens, it's not an immediate, you know, reaction point to what you've done over the last, you know, 6, 8 years or however you want to look at it. And my personal view, and this isn't, you know, this is just, you know, my time in the jacuzzi of cannabis and understanding how important it is when you deliver these goods, if you want to call it that, you know, in a company that is kind of debt free, and these big companies that are coming in and you know, kind of to backtrack, there's no rush in this. You know, cannabis is so infant right now, as much as people don't think so. And I hear it all the time. Should have gotten into cannabis. What do you mean should have? I mean, we're still just getting started. And I encourage people to take that jump. And if they have the motivation, if your motivation is money, then, you know, go put it somewhere else, because you need to be work motivated to get into this industry. But what's happening is there's such a rush to get to so many different states. And it's like you said, and that's exactly what it is. It's planting flags everywhere.
Oh yeah.
But understand that, you know, that takes so much money to do correctly. And these companies are getting, I mean, unimaginable amounts of money used and invested and so little's coming from it. And you can't, you know, my son and I and my family, you know, as we have gone through this, you can't just plant a flag in a state and then all of a sudden it's like, here I am.
Yeah.
You have to recreate what you're doing in your current state or current states if you're doing it successfully. And it's expensive as hell. And I understand that. But the problem is there's such a rush on this that they're leaving the scraps everywhere else. And, you know, we didn't do that going through Michigan and California as we did previously. We kept the flow very solid. And, you know, understand, my son moved to Michigan and he was the base on, you know, taking Michigan to a $75-80 million a year company, or that part of our company. It would have never happened any other way. You have to have somebody that's boots on the ground and in that control. I hate to say that word, but, you know, to be able to control the whole aspect of what you're doing. And that's the same position that we are in today. But once again, the problem that I see across the board is these people getting into the industry with, you know, what they feel is not enough money. So they immediately are out getting as much as they can from people, you know, or investments. Yeah. And then it just goes. I don't understand that process. But when a company, you know, is infused with, you know, $40, $50, $75 million, what do they do with that money?
You know what they do? I mean, they're taking the same formula that they had in another state without interstate commerce, without any way to go ahead and export or just, you know, move product along. They have to go and just recreate the same model in another state. Hopefully that the same, you know, grows that they have will grow in the same greenhouse, and the dispensaries will operate the same way, but yet, oh, we have to put them under different names. We can't even have branded names for every state. Like, okay, so we have this name here, but it has to be this name here. It's like, I don't understand why, but there's that part. And I mean, it is kind of good, the fact that, you know, the craft cannabis companies, there's an opening, fortunately, because of all these mistakes that MSOs are leaving behind. So they're hurting themselves in the meantime as well.
Well, I mean, absolutely. And it takes them so long to make an upper hand decision that, you know, by the time they get into a market and they start building a team, because you have to build a team, and the money that these guys are taking to get into these markets is unimaginable. And they, and it's, I hate to say it, but it's failing. And you can look at what's happening right now. I mean, some of these big companies, you know, we just had one that pulled out of three major states, and California, I think it's California, Oregon, and Colorado. How do you take that off of your platform? You know, and it's, oh, we're going to go over here where it's, you know, better. But I mean, why would you leave probably, I mean, obviously two of the major markets in the industry? And as an investor into those companies, or people that have money into those companies, I'd be really questioning like who made that decision and why. And is it because you're failing? And why are you failing in those states, which you should be just going crazy? So, I mean, but back to the money side of it, you know, we have never taken a dime. And I've said this, and some people just can't imagine, we've never taken a dime. We've lived within our means and business within our means. And that says a lot on how to really run these things. And we've watched people, and, you know, back in the day, you know, we've been 14 years in this, and we started with literally with nothing, six plants in a garage, and grew it to, you know, $100+ million company. And we would be back in the day, and we'd be going to, you know, MJ BizCon, and, you know, and spending every penny that we had to market. And, you know, and then you've seen these people flying in on private jets, and I'm just like, man, I want to be like that. Like, I want to have that same thing, you know, and how are these guys doing it? And then you find out that they're burning through money like you can't even imagine, and they owe everybody money, and there's just, you know, but we have never, ever taken a dime. We've never taken, back in the day, you know, they call them fronts, and people, when we did have our stores, and at that time, and people would come in with, you know, 10 pounds of weed, and they'd want to front it to us. And, you know, we pay everything out. We don't owe any money. We don't owe money on anything that we own, our buildings, our vehicles, you know, all of our equipment, everything. And so, and we did that not because we were rich. We did it because we were determined to sleep well at night, knowing that we didn't owe people money. And it's very easily done. It's in anything. And the problem is that everybody's in such a rush to get to the, the end. I don't know, that they're missing out on the fun part of this. And here we are doing it again in the same exact fashion.
Right.
And you know, I could be in 10 states right now, but what is it going to do? It's going to make the brand just look really bad, because you can't do that in that way. You know, it'd be different. Honestly, it'd be different if we had interstate, you know, to be able to ship across state lines.
I mean, if Governor Newsom's words could hold water and it were just not symbolic, if he actually could implement it, would be nice.
Oh, it'd be that I would take that over federal legalization in a second. Because imagine, you know, you build a facility in California, and don't get me wrong, it's, you know, usually about three times the cost anywhere else, but you're looking at, to go to the production level that we're talking about, you're looking at $3 to $5 million to start a facility. And then you have to do that in every state that you're in. You can't, if we could manufacture in California and ship to the other states, it would be a whole different ballgame.
Think about it. You got Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Arizona, all connected together.
Yeah.
It's a big market right there.
And, you know, to be in those markets, you have to have manufacturing in each and every state.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a game changer, but nonetheless, I can tell you, I mean, and even with our go around, how we've always had fun in cannabis with whatever it is that we're doing. And I wouldn't push the rush on it. And I can tell you, if I felt like there was, like, we were going to be missing something, then I guess maybe we would have some sort of a urgency on it, but there isn't. People that get involved in this industry, they need to slow down. As much as you don't want to say that, slow down. And they say, you know, stop and smell the roses. Well, stop and smell your weed. You know, you have to enjoy this process. And we have always enjoyed this process, and we've never been in a rush. Even as much as everybody around us is doing it, at one point we kind of thought, wow, are we missing something? And then we realized, you know, and I told my son, I said, just watch in the next 2 to 3 years, you'll see what you're missing. Mm-hmm. And that was it. We were watching people driving, you know, all brand new Ferraris and, you know, mansions and all this stuff, you know, and
squandering.
Yes.
Investments.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, those guys, you know, and we know a lot of people in the industry. And I said, those guys were smaller than us.
Right.
How is that guy flying in on a private jet and we're driving? You know, it's just like,
well, George, I prefer your approach. Out of business. Honestly, I prefer your approach anyway, because I'll tell you, do I want to go ahead and sleep well at night, not having to worry about shareholders, worrying about the stress over the stock price and what the ticker's going to do and what world events are going to go and cover, what's going to happen to what my market value is going to be? Do I need to have some kind of board of directors outside of the mix that are going to try to tell me how to run my business and what I've been doing well? And then on top of that, you know, okay, the shareholders, they might feel good about the fact that when sales were good during COVID, because businesses were deemed essential, but you know what? Inflation, we're getting another challenge, and now sales are flat. Oh, we got to go ahead and start bringing the prices down. So people want to go ahead and bail out. And yeah. I'm like, it's so fortunate, but there's this whole issue of, I don't want to deal with that kind of that mess. It's like me working for a corporate company. I don't want to do it. I know what kind of running for that. And the money is just going to be used because it needs to be used. It's right. Not even a matter if anybody's going to fact check or going to be an accountant and go forensically and saying, what are you using this money for? If we're going to put this money in, you might tell me what you're going to put it in for, but the truth is you don't. You have, like you said, somebody's driving a Ferrari or, you know, a Maybach or whatever. Like, okay, come on now. Let's get out. Or, you know, a Bugatti or something. Now I got to ask you this question, but I also want to preface this real quick. February 19th, a couple days before I record this show with you, I got to put this point on the program. So East New York, a new CBS show came out, their 12th episode of the year. It was on cannabis, and these people, Up in Smoke is a title. of course.
Imagine
this fucking mainstream, like the way I know. And I mean, the writers, they took some, it was interesting how they put it together. So they were focusing on a dispensary called Royal Kush in Brooklyn that got robbed in gunpoint. There was an issue where the owner of the establishment was someone that was convicted and served like 5 years for possession and distribution. So, you know, a legacy operator, all that going on. And they had the Office of Cannabis Management involved and tried to take care of this because they were trying to hold the case, this whole investigation. You had a couple of officers go into the dispensary undercover, all this kind of, it was kind of funny, but like, you know, gave it a little bit more of a feel to it. But you know what? It's interesting that you actually focus on New York anyway, because it is pretty current. That implementation of the adult use cannabis now is in, and we've already on this show talked extensively about what New York's doing right now to implement social equity. Thank you. You're moving ahead. You know, Governor Hochul signed, or Governor Cuomo signed it. Governor Hochul's implementing it. Okay. Being in California and being for as long as you have and seeing what they're doing in New York, because we always said, you know, if you want to see if the legalization is going to happen federally, you know, Colorado made the case for it working in a market. California amplified it because of the size and magnitude of a state as California. New York is the other set. It's like a different dynamic. If it does well in New York, then, you know, the Senator Schumer's of the world will continue to go and just keep pushing across and saying, we need to pass this. Not just as a win, but like, this is good for the industry. It's good for business. When you look at what's happening in New York right now, based on what California is going through, because, you know, you have the issues where there's a lot of nickel and diming and you're still opening up new businesses. You're opening up the new business of gelato. Talk to me about, you look at right now how California versus New York is right now, the dynamic of, if you even had the thought, is it a wise decision to go ahead and start up shop in New York, based on what you're doing in California, starting up shop last year with Gelato.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this falls back to where I encourage anybody that has, you know, any drive into the cannabis, you know, now is the time. Absolutely. And don't pay attention to what's happening, you know, so much as far as the industry in a whole. It's kind of like a, it's kind of like a cleansing, you know, we're getting that colon cleanse, you know, in the industry, which are flush as is needed, you know, typically 3 to 5 years, every 3 to 5 years. And that's what's happening. And there's so much new stuff coming into this and going into the New York side of it, you know, and the same thing, if we talk about Florida, you know, put that in for the kind of the trifecta, and in a weird way, Michigan covers the top half of the states. And, you know, you can't, if you say East Coast, West Coast, what are the two states that come to mind?
Yeah.
New York, California.
Yeah.
It's natural. And you can't, our nation doesn't work without those two driving everything that happens within the United States. And just like you said, if we get New York on pace, things will happen a lot quicker. And it's kind of like the right shoe, left shoe. And that's, you know, so, you know, New York, absolutely. We could all be there, you know, and it, as bad as some people make it sound, it's also the influence that comes from California. I mean, we kind of mix back and forth, you know, you take the Hollywood and then you got the, you know, New York and Manhattan and everything kind of coagulates, and we end up with, you know, all these amazing things that happen. And just like you said, yes, New York, we won't get anywhere without New York being on board and without New York pushing the ball. It's just not going to happen. And so, but they've been very reluctant for such a long period of time. And now, you know, New York is where California was 6 years ago, and it's going through that phase. Yeah. And you're going to have, I mean, do you remember how it was here? Anytime somebody got robbed or anytime something happened, oh man, it was every fucking news station had it on there. And it was any chance that they got to publicize the negative side of things, not when a Domino's pizza guy gets robbed or when a 7-Eleven guy gets killed. It was always when cannabis was at some point, even though there was, you know, so many things going on. And now, when's the last time you've seen anything in California negative on cannabis? I mean, I could tell you, I was on the news. My store was on the news, you know, and they would stand out front. Here we are at a, you know, Southern California pot shop, and look at what's happening here. You know, now it's like, here we are, we're at, you know, such and such dispensary, and look at what's going on here. And, you know, these news reporters that I used to laugh at are now coming into the stores and, you know, and publicizing. I love that. And now New York is in that point where it's the same thing, you know, up in smoke. It's like all these stupid analogies that they're using to try to get people to understand that cannabis is not, you know, it's not acceptable. And unfortunately everybody has to go through that. It's happened in every direction. And, you know, we should all be embracing that as much as we can. And if we have the means or in some way to, you know, to be a part of it, to help, then that's, as much as I don't hate it, but you know, being the, you know, somebody that's been in the industry for 14 years. I mean, there's people, you know, twice that time, but nonetheless, I mean, it we're always open for people to understand how to make things a little bit easier.
I want to go to another commercial break, and I'll tell you, George, you know, I actually have a few other questions I was going to have planned for you, but you know what? I love this conversation where it's gone. The direction's been great. Better than I even thought it would have been. So I'm glad to have you on to talk this. And I want to go a little more farther into the whole idea of where California is in the market. It's because I do have a question to ask about that. That is very poignant that New York has to deal with. That's very prominent. but California still has the same issue, the illicit market. I'm going to bring that up to you after a short break. I'm here with the co-owner of Gelato Canna Co., George Sadler, here on Blunt Business, back after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Back with final questions with George Sadler, the co-owner of a new cannabis company called Gelato. And George, I know a couple of things I wanted to unpack from before the break. You mentioned Florida, and I want to make a mention to the audience that we're waiting for Florida to see where it goes in November 24. And by the way, I'm in South Florida. So it's very important to see where in 2016, we did get medical. 2020 could not get the ballot done because a lot of, you know, there was a couple of competing petitions out there.
It was close, though.
The other one, but the other one decided to cancel out the other and negate both. Stupid. But now we have Smart and Safe Florida. Almost by this point, over 300,000 valid signatures. They need almost 900,000. So far, they already have a, and this is according to MJ Biz Daily, they've already triggered a Supreme Court review, state Supreme Court review of the initiative. So if everything works out, November 2024, it'll be on the ballot. Florida Valley initiatives need 60% or two-thirds to become law. So that means or to the I-4 corridor. We need you guys to get together on this. You could have done, if it was just south of I-4, you know how it is. Tampa, Orlando, West Palm, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers would have passed it completely, 75%. So we're hoping for all that. We're crossing fingers and toes.
It was so close.
Oh, yeah. No, and we have some people we've been bringing on the show, appreciate that, that are making the effort. So I'm glad to see that there. And I got to get Smart and Safe Ford on the program. Now, back to New York. While, you know, in California, you talked about all the stores like yours that, you know, the robberies would come on. And then let's just go and talk about it. Well, of course, we know cash-based businesses, only so much you can do in terms of, you know, where you can put your money. All those things were always being brought up. The other thing that is important, and New York has to deal with this too, which I don't think they really mentioned on that East New York episode, but in New York, I know we've talked to attorneys over there. We've talked to people that are running businesses over there. The illicit market is rampant. They're putting buses out there. They're putting pop-up shops out there while they're trying to go and open up new dispensaries. And unfortunately, and this is according to CNBC, that you're still dealing with the same issue with California having the illicit market. Leafly actually put out a report back in November last year. 55% of California's cannabis market is still run by illicit.
Yeah.
That's a big cut into what you can make into your bottom line, George. When you look at that, and the same issues going on, tens of thousands in New York City alone being cracked down. And I know that California, you know, the control board there, and we know law enforcement, they're trying to crack it down. They're trying to crack down grows that are growing in other parts like Humboldt County or whatever. It's a lot. But when you look at it, I mean, it's people are still taking advantage of it. And then on top of that, what is it that California could be doing that, that New York should learn from California? If there's anything where, what's the ultimate formula to kind of, I mean, I always said, first of all, in that Eastern New York episode, a legacy operator is running a shop. Same thing these apply with social equity. That should, now what New York did right there with social equity, I've been saying over and over the last year, legacy operators need to be included. Like, you know, you make sure they might have their records, but look, if you're looking at the track record, if they're putting out quality product and they can control it and they can manage it and can put out quality product.
Yep.
Shouldn't they also be getting licensing to cut down the illicit market?
Yep. Absolutely. And I'd love to say that there was something California was doing to offer to New York to some advice, but you know, this is something that we talk about a lot and it is frustrating because we can't be that state that can show you in that way, because here we spend millions of dollars a year on these taxes and everything. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, I think we're at around 600. I don't remember the exact number. My apologies.
No, that's fine.
I think it's 600-700 licensed dispensaries in California. And the last, about 2 months ago, the last number on, we call it the black market, was over 1600. So it's telling you a couple of things. And one is that it's alive and doing its thing. It's what I would say, you know, is, you know, I hate to use the term, but it's cancerous. And what feeds that, unfortunately, is also the same players in the licensed market. If you go into these stores, which I've done myself, mm-hmm. if you go into these stores, you're going to find brands, licensed brands, on the shelves of these black market dispensaries. And I'm not going to name names,
right?
But I can tell you, it's disturbing to me. And knowing some of these players, you know, I always just say it's a matter of time. And until we get to the root of that, which is very easy, you know, especially because we spend all this money with the state, and yet we have to compete against people that are in the black market, which, you know, is triple what they're doing in the licensed market. So of course, if they're not getting touched, why wouldn't they do it? You know, if you're making say $1 million a month in the licensed market, and then on the other side of it, you're making $3 to $4 million a month, why would you shut that down if nobody's even bothering you? And we've seen it in the past, and I can say Cushy Punch, you know, they got caught. They got a $60,000 fine, and right back at it. It's insane. And, you know, as much as it's an incentive, and we've had, you know, those opportunities in front of us, we've always stayed true to the course, and, you know, and then saying, okay, you know, watch what happens down the road. At some point, we're always just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
And maybe it will, I don't know. But nonetheless, we're not a great example for anybody, to be honest with you, because I can drive right out of my office, and I can drive by 10 stores that are open signs, nothing hidden at all. And I can walk right into the store, throw my ID. And there's no rec card or any of that stuff. They throw your ID, and it's almost like walking into a licensed store now.
I want to bring up a few things before we wrap up, just some points. It was funny, like last year I was supposed to get an interview, and I actually almost had it signed up. And then for whatever reason, somebody in the higher ups in the city of Los Angeles, actually, you know, they never got back to me about the interview, but an environmental compliance inspector was supposed to come on with me. There was one, I'm not saying anything about them. I'm just saying there was a question I had when I went ahead and set up an outline to go talk about it. And I never got to talk about this, but this is so important. High Times reported back last year about cannabis related initiatives in Los Angeles and San Diego counties. And like, when I look at the taxes, the LA County voters approved, okay, was 25 retail licenses with Measure C by 59, almost 60%. But the taxes that would be put for unincorporated areas of the county, this is the kind of nickel and diming I'm talking about.
Right.
$10 per square foot for cultivators, 6% tax on gross retail receipts, as well as a gross receipts tax, which was 2% for testing facilities, 3% on distribution, 4% for manufacturing other marijuana business facilities. I mean, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
Nickel and dime all over the place.
Yep.
And you wonder where, like, it's amazing that, you know, that you still have the fortitude to go up against where you have all these taxes in front of you to open up, and the illicit market to also contend with as well. Real quickly, the last minute that we have, talk to me about just, you know, what Gelato's been able to do, overcoming all that in the last year, still making money. And what is it about the product line, if you want to just focus on a couple of products, that really make it, you know, make your case?
Wow. So yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. And I love being on your podcast. You know, I mean, I think just to kind of summarize on the side of Gelato is that we've really found a niche, as I said earlier, with people that want to be a part of something and feel like they're a part of something in the cannabis where they're not, you know, losing their ass as an investor.
yeah.
I mean, as far as our products go, we've changed the products dramatically to really fit what people were looking to have. We have some new stuff coming out that, I mean, I'm excited. I'd love to be able to say on here we should be launching a few new SKUs that are really off the charts of anything in cannabis here in the next. Well, we actually have a big event coming up at Hall of Flowers. It's called Gelato After Dark, and we've been known for putting on these parties, and this one coming up is a full It's one you don't want to miss. So if you're in town, don't miss it. It's up at Santa Rosa. It's a full festival that we're doing.
Yeah. May 3rd and 4th. Yes.
It's May 3rd, which is my birthday.
Good.
And so the party is the night of May 3rd, as usual, after the first day of Hall of Flowers. It's a full event. We've got some big artists. It's a full stage. It's right across the street from Hall of Flowers. And we're working with Hall of Flowers for the event, which is the first time thing done. But anyways, on the SKUs, we've just made everything fun. And we've really taken everything to a top, of whatever it is. Our flower, we're blowing through flower, which we never did. But we are sourcing some of the best growers in the state. And we're just buying gross. And so we're dropping hundreds and hundreds of pounds a week, which we never did. And the flower is just amazing. And the biggest part, as always, is we're putting things out to the consumer at a super affordable price. Yeah. So you're getting just these amazing products and manufactured goods and gummies, you know, all this stuff at a super affordable price. And just people are having fun with it. That's the biggest thing is let's just have fun. Let other people be the downside.
Right. Fantastic. Hey, George, thanks for being on with us again.
Thank you.
You're on Blunt Business with George Sadler, co-owner of Gelato Canna Company. And once Lathan comes back with Days of the Fuse, we'll get you back on that podcast once he gets off the hiatus. I want you to go.
If you're ever in town, come down. I mean, I'd love to have you, you know, come through one of our facilities and maybe we do a podcast here.
Would love to do it. If I could get the time to get away. I mean, I can't get a time away to go for vacation, let alone anything else. So thank you again, George. Really appreciate you taking time out. Listeners, thanks for listening to The Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.